Southern California College Training, July 6 through 12, 2009, Sacramento, California. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Evening Session, Message 5, Christ Being Formed in Us. Scripture Reading, Galatians 4:19 and Ephesians 3:17.
The Lord be with your spirit.
Amen.
Grace be with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I actually forgot we should really read chapter 1, verse 9. I stop at 8. Really should have gone to 9. So let's just read it. 1:9, 2 Timothy. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, before the times of the ages. Well, if you think this kind of pre-reading is, whoa, something, I'll tell you, you haven't seen anything. I wish they have invented the video back in the 60s, but there were no video, and even though we have these 8mm whatever camera, but in the church life, no one... We burn all of them, so we don't have those things. And so we also, in those days, we just don't take pictures. You know, like today, I mean, we use the phone, take pictures. In those days, even if we have cameras, we don't use them. But we didn't use them. So today, there's not much of a record, at least visual record, of those years. But I think at least some of those will capture audio. Today, I think if you go back, probably get some of these old tapes, you may get a feel for what was going on. Now, there was at least one meeting called the Crazy Lovers of Jesus. Now, that was given actually later in 1973. And that gives you a little feeling. I mean, I think next year when we come back together here again, I would like to request one session to play that tape. The whole meeting, you just listen to that tape. And I did. One time, I was, some years ago, I was in Irvine. I've been there for a few years. And I was cleaning the hall all by myself. I don't know why I was doing that. I was cleaning the hall all by myself. And then a brother was up there in the tape room. And he didn't know I was there. And he started playing that tape. Now, I was in that meeting back in 1973. So when that came on, I was like, you know, what year is this? I was on a time machine. I got instantly transported back to the place, back to that meeting. And it was in LA Convention Center in the largest young people's conference ever with hundreds and hundreds. I don't know how many. And, of course, Brother Witness Lee was speaking. And today you can find that book. But that one highlight meeting was when he exploded, or the Spirit exploded, with this term, the Crazy Lovers of Jesus. I mean, I don't remember that particular tape. Which meeting was it on? I don't quite remember. They were all high. And Brother Lee was shouting, we were screaming, and he was talking about spreading the Lord's recovery and the gospel through the whole earth. You know, at that time, there was still Soviet Union. You know, it was a different world then, but that was the burden. And there's so many voices that came on of brothers and sisters that I knew. Unfortunately, a number of them are no longer with us. But we were burning young people then. We were all in our late teens and early 20s, and we were just crazy. We were crazy. We weren't just talking crazy. We were crazy. And in the early years, back in the 60s, this is dialing back a few more years, when I came to the recovery, that is back in 1968, 69 time frame, that's way beyond your time, we used to have meetings. I'd like to give you just some idea, because many of you are so new, that the whole meeting was prayer reading. All right? No messages. Nothing like this. This is different. This is a training. I'm talking about church meetings. Frequently, we would come together, let's say on Tuesday night for prayer. The meeting would last for an hour and a half. And that hour and a half was not prayer, but prayer reading. Now, mingle with that prayer reading was a lot of prayer. Automatically. But it was primarily prayer reading. And there was a period of time that we prayer read the book of Revelation. Not every chapter, but some of the key ones, especially the last few, you know, like chapter 21, 22 on the New Jerusalem. Try that. Try prayer reading. I still remember, you know, crystal precious. You know those stones, there's 12, you can hardly pronounce those 12 stones, you know. You know what I mean? We were just pray reading up a storm. We even don't know what those stones were, but we were in our spirit. We strike the word with our spirit, like the match on the phosphorus, you know, in your matchbox. And I tell you, there was fire. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you have never pray read like this, you're really missing out. I feel in these days, one of the things the Lord has to recover through you, the young generation, is the prayer reading. Now tonight, we're getting a little feel for that. Right? But in those days, we didn't have standing up like that. You know, you say something, you repeat something. We were all prayer reading from our chair. So everyone prays something, and immediately followed by someone with seamless connection. And at the end of an hour and a half, it was like one prayer by one person. And there was so much light, you know, like what I shared in, you know, last week in the training. It was just fireworks all over the place. It was Disneyland the whole night. I mean, I'm talking about this explosions in your being from the Word coming alive. They are no longer letters. They are no longer just black and white. They are not even just a Bible. They have become spirit by our digestion through prayer reading. I like to see the recovery come back to that kind of prayer reading. And let me tell you, you got a problem? Go prayer read. It will solve your problem. I don't care what kind of problem. I don't care. I really don't care. This or that. I don't care. There's no problem that prayer reading cannot solve. But it's a special kind of prayer reading. It's not just, you know, you're just kind of half asleep or you just kind of mouth some words and say, just add an amen to the end. No, it's not that kind of prayer reading. It is a prayer reading with our whole being. Our whole spirit, for sure, our whole soul, our whole body even energy, was spent on prayer reading. After that, we were all like drained in sweat. After a boxing match, it's kind of like that. But you are just so almost delirious with joy in the Holy Spirit. That was really the kingdom of God. And so, this is my story. This is my story. This is my song. And I do have a song, right? So after one of those prayer reading, I told you, we were just on cloud nine. with nothing but God. You know, we were just floating in the air. I mean, you can turn up the lights and we can still see each other. It was like glowing. It was like glowing. And I'm not exaggerating here. I really am not. I wish there were videotape. But anyway, it was so much light. And with the light comes life. You know, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. When there is light exploding in you, the result is life. Just dispense, saturate in you, and that life just swallow all manners of death and all kinds of problems. And at the end of the meeting, nobody have no problem. We were all in God. We were all in the Spirit. We were transported into a totally different realm. So, we were pre-reading chapter 22. It was so much light and so forth that inspiration just came. So I sped home after the meeting, pulled out a pen and paper, and wrote that song. You know, that song I wrote. You know that one, Drink a River Pure. You know that one song? Drink a river pure and clear that's flowing from... I wrote that. Right. No, I'm honest. I'm not boasting. It's a fact. So I want to tell you how I wrote it. That's my point. So it was after this kind of glorious, explosive, heavenly... we were like those that dream type of meeting. Okay? And the inspiration is just the anointing. It's just gushing out of everyone's pores, you know. And so it was so much inspiration. I just rushed home and I wrote that in that night, just like that. I may add it a little bit later on, but it just came like that. You like that song?
Yeah.
Let's sing verse 1. How does it go? How does it go? So this is my story. This is my song, right? Okay. So how does it?
The river pure and clear that's flowing from the throne. Take the tree of life and fruits of health and richly grow. No moon to keep it bright, for here there is no night. Do come, oh do come, says Spirit and the Bride. Do come, oh do come, let him that heareth cry. Do come, oh do come, let him who thirst and will take freely the water of life.
Sisters, verse 2. You know verse 2?
Christ our free and Christ our life, we'll and Christ our rising,
Christ our night and Christ our morning star. Christ our everything. Do come, oh do come, says Spirit and the Bride. Do come, oh do come, let him that heareth cry. Do come, oh do come, let him who thirst and will take freely the water. Brothers, all our rubs the tree of life to eat. All our amen, hallelujah, Jesus is so sweet. Exercise and thus experience pride. What a prize have we. Do come, oh do come, says Spirit and the Bride. Do come, oh do come, let him that heareth cry. Do come, oh do come, let him who thirst and will take freely the water of life. Together, now we have a home so bright that outshines the sun, where the brothers and sisters truly are one. Jesus fits us all together, Him we now display in the local church. Do come, oh do come, says Spirit and the Bride. Do come, let him that heareth cry. Do come, let him who thirsts and will take freely the water of life. You like that song? I mean, I didn't sit there, read the Bible, and get into my mind and wrote that. It would not have been written at all. It was out of a corporate prayer reading, not one man prayer reading. Body prayer reading. When you have a body prayer reading, you just touch this Christ. And even these verses that came up was not me writing them. it was the utterances of the saints that I distilled, you know, into these four verses. That was a body song. That was really a body song, right? Then there's this other that before the 1973 big one, you know, the Crazy Lovers of Jesus. I don't know whether a song came out of that or not. I don't remember. But in 1971, there was another big Young People's Conference. In those days, the Young People's Conference were really when things happened. Okay, I got caught absolutely, I would say, wrecked in one meeting, just one meeting, in a Young People's Conference in L.A. in 1967 Christmas, and there were like hardly 30 people there. Okay, I got caught by one meeting. And a year later, I moved from Oregon and was in the church life. Now, in 1971, we have so many people that we couldn't meet in Eldon Hall. We have to go to this place called Embassy Auditorium on Figueroa Street, Los Angeles. Those of you who are going to USC, you know Figueroa. This is downtown Figueroa, Embassy Auditorium. This is one of these 1920 gilded kind of theater, you know. And so we filled the top and we filled the bottom. And that was the one when we wrote four banners and Brother Lee coined the banners. And that was the first meeting in the U.S. where we had banners in the meetings. You know, banners, these red on white, you know, banners. That was the first one. And yours truly is the one who made the first banner. Because I was an architecture student, and they found that out. So I know how to use the T-square and pencils. And in those days, we have no computer. Everything was hand. So I had to buy the butcher paper and handwrite those letters with a T-square. And the first group of saints from Germany came, young people. They were students, medical students, many of them from Freiburg, Germany. That was the first time they came to visit the U.S., the Lord's Recovery, and I drafted them all to help me paint. I still remember. on the stage, we painted this, and that was the one says these four banners. Man is the meaning of the universe. Christ is the meaning of the human life. The church is the expression of Christ, and let us go and tell the world about it. You know that song? So I was also involved with that song. Oh, I'm a man, I'm the meaning of the universe. Yes, I'm a man, I'm the meaning of the universe. Gonna make me stop, I'm so much. I'm the center and the meaning of the universe. He's the meaning of my human life. Christ lives in me. He's the meaning of my human life. He lives in me, my all to be. He's the creator and the meaning of my human life. The church is Christ, its expression on the earth today. The church is Christ, its expression on the earth today. It's God's plan over all the earth. So what should we do? We should go and tell the world of this. What should we do? We should go and tell the world of this. Oh, this is our call. Go and tell the news of God of every man. See, now I forgot some of the lyrics. Anyway, I mean, we were crazy, right? I still remember we were sitting there and this lights, you know, this theater lights were shining, and we have people sitting on the up there and people on the audience. And Brother Lee got some of us up to speak, you know, repeat his message. It was scary. We were all, you know, barely 20, 21 year old. Okay, now you speak to everybody. I still remember. You know, Brother Lee, I tell you, you know, he just get you up there. Speak. Like that. hurts, huh?
Yeah.
Brother Lee at that time was still pretty young. And then I still remember we were like that. Brother Lee said, look at it. Everyone is a piece of clay. They're made of clay. What? They're all clay pots over there. What are you afraid of clay? Just speak to the clay. That didn't help that much. But that remained in me. To this day, when I get nervous, when I speak like this, I remember Brother Lee's word, you are just clay. No big deal. I'm speaking to clay. Okay. Anyway, it was glorious. I tell you, those were the days, and that's why I have a burden to get into some of this stuff tonight. Oh, brothers and sisters, our spirit was buoyant. Our spirit was, almost levitating our body, you know. Our spirit was just strong. Our spirits were just high, transcendent. Our spirits defy gravity. I'm not joking. And I'm talking about people your age or younger. That's what we're talking about. And Brother Lee was in love with us. He was just crazy. He was a lot more crazy than I am tonight when he was with the young people. He was just jumping up and down. You know, the crazy lovers of Jesus, that conference, he was absolutely, he lost it, Brother Lee, lost it. He just was crazy with us. You know, that LA Convention Center was just built, and I'm an architect, so I know a few things about structure. You know, earthquakes, when the buildings start moving, it is not just as moving. When the wavelength hits a certain point, that's when the building would collapse. And I tell you, they designed this long span exhibition hall in LA Center. We were all jumping, and at one point we were jumping in unison, and the floor started to go up and down. You know, when you jump and I don't jump, that's okay. But when 1,000, 2,000 people start jumping together in synchronization, you know what I mean? You can hit that point, and that floor can break. I was so scared. I mean, a few people were scared too. It was getting a little uncomfortable. So. But I want to tell you, not just about that. I want to tell you how living we were. Now, we were a little wild. We were a little woolly. We were a little something like that. But I tell you, you cannot deny we were living. We were not special people. We were not smarter than you. The same. But we touched something. We were in our spirit. We know the living Christ. It's real. The whole thing is real. You cannot tell me it's not real. We're there. I've been there. Now, brothers and sisters, I say this so that you would also go there. Not only go there, you know what there means. I don't mean to LA Convention Center. I mean you go to this place, this marvelous place called your mingled spirit. I mean, you go there, and you go there a lot, and eventually you start staying there. You get a green card, okay? You change passports. You migrate. You get naturalized. You become a citizen of your spirit, and you never leave again. That's where we were. We were men and women, or young men and young women, that belong to our spirit. Our spirit, where Christ is, dwells, absolutely rules us through our spirit. He was the boss. He presided in our being. He just dominated our being through our spirit, and then our whole soul. We were people like that. Because I had this experience, I therefore absolutely believe with every fiber of my being that you can be the same.
Amen.
You are not, a generation that is, generation after generation, they get worse and worse, or you know what I mean? Colder and colder. No, it should not be. It should be the other way.
Amen.
Every generation should be stronger than the one before.
Amen.
More absolute than the one before.
Amen.
More burning than the one before. And you should be that generation.
Amen.
I absolutely, absolutely challenge you. Okay? Don't be a lukewarm, Laodicean, neither hot nor cold group of young people. That's bad news. That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. You either be hot or you be cold. But don't be in the middle. It's no fun. Okay? Get fully into the Spirit and abandon yourself to the Holy Spirit. We do have a song. Utterly abandoned to the Holy Ghost. That's the old word. Utterly abandoned to the Holy Spirit. And there's a line that says, cutting all the shorelines, launching in the deep. I mean, burn the bridges. Cut the cord. Get into a free fall. If you die, at least you go out in a flame, in flames. Listen, it's been 40 years. I haven't hit the ground yet.
Amen.
In fact, I'm going up.
Amen.
This skydiver goes up.
Amen.
Doesn't go down, he goes up.
Amen.
And I thought I couldn't go higher. I'm still going higher.
Amen.
There's this guy in this ex-pilot from Switzerland. He wanted to be the first jet man. So he designed this jet, put a jet engine or whatever on him, and he started flying. Eventually he has to land, with a jet engine. I don't need no jet engine. I tell you, the rocket is in my spirit.
Amen.
I tell you, this rocket, one day, not just one day, anytime, can take me to the third heavens. The center of the universe, in a split second, through the heavenly ladder in John 1. My spirit is connected to the throne, the holiest of all. That's where God is. That's where Christ is. That's where your spirit is. Young brothers and sisters, treasure your spirit. I tell you, give up everything for your mingled spirit. Nothing is more important in your being than your spirit.
Amen.
You can have bad health, but your spirit must be what? Must be wholesome. Must be strong. When your spirit is strong, when your spirit is living, when your spirit is full and rich, your whole being will be affected. You'll be the most proper human being on the earth. Trust me. Now let's talk a little bit about this. When God created man, in his image, He firstly formed his body with clay, right? That's why Bradley said you're clay. With the dust. Adam, the word means red earth. That's clay. It's red. He made Adam with the dust of the ground, according to his likeness. And then it says, he breathed into this man the breath of life. Now that is not God himself, but that is something very, very close to God. Do you believe God created this universe?
Amen.
Do you know the Big Bang Theory? The Big Bang Theory basically postulates that the physicists would trace the whole universe, which is still expanding today. They roll the camera backwards, and for billions of years, or however many billions of years, and they all come back to one point. To one point. Today, the whole universe is still expanding with all the energy that came from that one point. Just imagine how much energy is there. And there's no way you can debate that. The whole universe started from one point of energy. And that energy exploded somewhere in eternity. And then the universe came out. And then all the stars, all the helium, all the nitrogen, all the gases, all the things that form stars, and then basically out of energy, matter came into being. Matter, you know. You know, E equals MC squared, right? Albert Einstein, you know, right? Theory of the relativity. Everything you attribute back to that. I tell you this. Energy and matter are altogether related. I tell you, that energy, source of energy, must be God. Now, it's not God himself, but it is something of God, because the old creation does not have God. But it does have the energy of God. That's why today, looking at the creation, you must admit God is there. That is Romans chapter 1, that by looking at the universe, you can see the divine characteristics and the eternal power. And no one can deny that there is a deity. There is a divine person. Now we know who this person is. That is just God. And God created the whole thing in His Son Christ. You can almost say that energy is Christ. You can kind of say that. But anyway, that is still not God. Now, tonight's last message, you know, the last outline, I told the brothers, I will push it to tomorrow morning. So don't worry. Tomorrow morning we'll cover the last message in Galatians. But tonight I'm going to carve out this meeting. Is that okay?
Yes.
To talk about something else. You see, tomorrow there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. What is the difference between the new creation and the old? The old creation is just matter created by God through His energy, yet without God, the person, without God's life and nature. It has God's characteristics. It has God's power, but it does not have God's life and nature. That's the old creation, and that creation is awesome enough. Am I right? I mean, have you looked at these pictures I told you about from Hubble Telescope? I mean, I'm thinking of creating a series of lectures just on this, gospel lectures, and really explaining these things from a scientific viewpoint. You just wait. I'm no scientist. But today, we have many scientists. It doesn't take much to get the point, you know? Get the gist of it. I tell you, no, you cannot deny that. But that is the old creation. God wants to make a new creation out of that old creation. And one among this billions and billions of galaxies and stars, that is, some of these galaxies are billions times the size of our Milky Way, which we thought was very big, it's a fraction of, I don't know, is nothing compared to the whole universe. Okay? Yet, out of this vast, infinite, expanding universe, there is a dot, a ball, a globe called Earth. that has everything right in it to sustain life. Now, I know today they're sending rovers and people to Mars, and they say they found water, they found ice. I said, forget about it. I know the answer already. You're wasting billions of dollars. NASA, come to me. I have the answer. And I'll give you for nothing. I'll tell you, I'll read you the Bible.
Amen.
You crank out those computer things, I just read the Bible.
Amen.
You will not find life anywhere else. At least not human life. That's only on this little, itty-bitty little planet, in this itty-bitty little solar system, in this itty-bitty little galaxy called Milky Way, there's man there. I tell you, and with this man, you know, in Psalms, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is man? Really, really? What? I mean, just from the standpoint of size, and how small are you compared to this earth? Can you, you know what I mean? I mean, think about the universe, then think about you. I don't think you can be anyone can be proud if they think that way. You are just nothing. You know what I mean? You are just nothing compared to this universe, right? You're smaller than an ant. Yet with this man, God has a purpose. God has a pleasure. God has a plan. And that is to work himself, dispense himself into that man to become his life, so that this man can have his nature, so that he and this man can be mingled and joined and become one. Can you believe that? And that thing, that blended, mingled entity is the building block of the new creation. And in fact, it is not just you. It started out with your spirit, because that is the bullseye. That is the target point of God's dispensing. This is why Zechariah says, God who what? Stretch forth the heavens. That's that universe. I mean, the word means rolling it out like a carpet. God just roll it out. And today is still rolling out, as far as this, what the scientists is telling us. And he formed the foundation of this earth. This earth. First this universe, then the earth. Or lay the foundation. And then, number three, and he formed the spirit within man. Can you believe that your spirit ranks with earth's foundation? And what? And this whole universe. Think about that. That's your human spirit made by God. And how did that spirit come into being? When God breathed into this clay vessel's nostrils. Thank the Lord he made man with some nostrils. Otherwise, God cannot breathe into this man, right? So he made some holes, put some holes into this man. And he breathed through his nostrils something of himself, not himself, but something close to himself, called the breath of life. And that is where our spirit came from. Because it says God formed the spirit within me. God made that spirit. And how do we know? Because that word breath is the same word for spirit in Proverbs. That says what? The spirit of man is what? Is the Lamb of Jehovah. That word spirit in Hebrew is the same word as the word breath in Genesis 2. So, our human spirit is God's breath. And then it says man became a living soul. Out of the meaning of the body and the spirit, Man became animated. Okay? Man became a personality, a person. Man acquired faculties. And that faculty is what we call the soul of man. And in this faculty, we know you have what? The mind. You have what? The emotion. And then you have what? The will. And in the spirit of this man are also three parts. Number one, there's a conscience. Conscience. Number two, there's a function of fellowship that enable man to actually what? Commune or fellowship or contact or have relationship with God. Your spirit is programmed, built in software, hardware, whatever-ware, breath-ware, spirit-ware. It is programmed to be able to connect, not with some green aliens, forget about that, but to connect with the very Creator Himself. It's programmed. It's plug and play. I'm not a PC guy, I'm an Apple guy. Plug and play. If it's PC, I'm done. Thank the Lord for Apple. It's for the dummies like me. For the technologically challenged like me, just plug and play. I tell you, your spirit is not a PC. Your spirit is an Apple. You don't need to program and code and all these funny things. You just move your mouse, click, you're on. It says connected. To what? To God. Amen. To God, to the Creator. And He's been waiting. Amen. When is He going to make that connection? You know, don't be a person who buy that beautiful computer and put it in the garage. Oh, it's not for putting it in the garage. It's for you to turn it on and use. Amen. Oh, I tell you, no wonder all the ages, not only the enemy of God has an enemy who's totally diabolically against God. Everything that God wants, this enemy hates. So he has his devices and stratagems. Not only God chose to hide his good pleasure and plan from generations of sons of men until the Lord comes, until the apostles came. But the enemy succeeded over the centuries since then to veil God's children from this matter of their human spirit. I tell you, this is the master stroke of the devil. To not let people know they have a third part. You know, we have a little track called the third part. Use that. Tell people you've got a third part. Amen. They will say, what? Uh-huh. Now you can speak, right? Okay, let's read this. You've got a third part. And that part is the most wonderful part, the most valuable part of you, the most essential part of you. That is your human, God-created spirit. So that you can contact God, you can receive God, and you can contain God. How about this? Now, that's why we were crazy in L.A. We got there. We touched this spirit. We use our spirit all day long. All day long. We were experts in this spirit. Oh, it's marvelous. It is absolutely marvelous. Okay. Now, You still have a body. Then you also have a soul. Now the soul is also very important because that's you. That's you. Your human faculties, the ability, the faculty of reasoning, thinking, knowing, apprehending, okay, comprehending, are all a function of your mind. That's God made it. Don't say, oh, you told us to be crazy. We don't need our mind. No, no, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't be mindless. When I say crazy, I mean you're so crazy in your spirit that your mind becomes sober. That's how you get sober mind, by the way, by being crazy in your spirit. It doesn't sound logical, but it works that way. Yeah, I'll go back there. Okay. Then, God also made you with the faculty and the ability to emote, to feel, to love, to hate, to have compassion, to sympathize, to empathize. All these things are made by God in you. And all this, listen to you, mirrors God. Because God is not a mindless, emotionless blob. God is a God full of mind. We call the wisdom of God. What kind of mind? Oh, the depth. The counsel of this God, I tell you, we can never, never fathom. Because God's mind is deep. God has a mind. God also has an emotion. God is rich in mercy. Am I right? God, it says, He has a good pleasure in Ephesians 1. God loves. God so loved. God also hates. That means God gets mad. God gets become full of wrath when He judges. Don't say God have no feeling. God has a lot of feeling. Full of feeling. And so do we. We're made in His image. And God, and we are also made with the ability to decide. To make decisions. To determine. To have intentions. To have purposes. Isn't God like that? In fact, it says according to His will. The mystery of His will. God has a will. That will is not just, you know, He wrote a will. That will, and that will brings forth His purpose, means a strong, determined intent. When God decides on something, no one can change His mind. That's why God's will be done. Satan, you can tell Satan, today you can jump and do whatever you want. God's will be done.
Amen.
No one can change God's will. Once God made up His mind, that's it. And we also, in God's image, have a will. So now, we are just like God. We have a spirit. We have a body, for sure. The body so that we can exist in this material, physical universe. The spirit is so that we can contact God who is a being in the spiritual universe. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit. And we also have a soul that is our personality. That is us, represented by our mindset, by the way we think, by the way we love, by the way we decide things. Okay? Now, God's purpose is very simple. His purpose is to gain us by working himself in his being, his life and nature, into us. His triune being, right? We know this. And not only into us generally, but into the tripartite us. Starting with our spirit, and then spreading to our soul, and then finally, even what? Saturating our body, transfiguring it, and making it into a body like unto his own. At that time, God would have what? Fully imparted himself into the triune God, into the tripartite man, fully mingled, fully joined together, and fully one. This mingle entity, as I say, is the building block, this regenerated, transformed, and glorified tripartite man with the triune God, is the building block of God's new creation. It's the old creation, that's us, with the new creation added to it. And out comes the new creation. And this new creation is in our spirit. You know where is the new creation? It's there. In your spirit. And this new creation wants to spread. To make even your mind part of the new creation. Your emotion part of the new creation. Your will part of the new creation. And even your body will become part of the new creation. Today we're groaning. Am I right in Romans 8? Because the whole universe is groaning. You know, they say there's sounds in the universe. Do you know that? They pick up these sounds by this huge big telescope. I don't know how they do it. By infrared or whatever, waves. They detected murmurs in the universe. Again, NASA people, let me tell you, I know where those murmurs come from. It's in Romans 8. I tell you, the whole universe is in slavery and in bondage. They're all groaning. In Romans it says they were groaning for the revelation of the sons of God. Amen. Today nobody knows who are the sons of God. God's sonship is not fully produced, but it's not fully matured, right? It is in the process. That's why we're here. But one day the universe is waiting, groaning, one day for all of us to be revealed as the sons of God. And this corporate sonship actually is the reality of the church today. Amen. The body of Christ. And one day, this sonship will consummate in that holy city, New Jerusalem. So the New Jerusalem is the corporate mingling of the triune God with the tripartite man. Do you believe that this whole universe is for that? You know what it says? It says one day God will roll up this whole universe. If he rolled it out, then he has the right to roll it back up. And he will spread out a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know what that is like. There will one day be a new universe. I'm telling the physicist, astrophysicist. This man knows what will happen. A new universe will come into being with a new earth and a new Jerusalem in it, which is not a physical place, but it's the mutual, the mingling of God with man. Now, why am I saying this tonight? I have a point. My point is not just the new Jerusalem, is today with you. What should we do? What should we do to cooperate with God so that he can get this? Don't forget, the whole universe is for this. And you are for this. I'm a man, I am the meaning of the universe. Right? And this thing says what? Huh? He is the meaning and center of my human life. I tell you, oh, brothers and sisters. Okay, now, today, young people, you have to just forget about everything. I mean, you still have to study and all of that, okay? I don't mean that. But you know what I mean. You have to forget everything. And just remember your spirit, which today is not an empty organ anymore, but there's someone in there. The Lord be with your spirit. This Creator, who have went through the process of incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection and ascension, today, this very Creator, which is not the raw Creator. Now, I know that song. Praise the Creator, right? Jesus the Savior, life-giving Spirit now. Okay, so right there you have Creator, Redeemer, and Life-Giver. I tell you, that's Father, Son, and Spirit. This process, triune God, is embodied in Christ. You see this word? Christos, Christ, the Anointed One, this Christ. This Christ is not just Christ, that little Jesus. This Christ is the embodiment of that triune God. This Christ, according to Paul's revelation, lives in us. Oh my goodness, brothers and sisters, my goodness. I mean, that's why we were jumping up and down in Eldon. Well, that's why I was jumping up and down in Eldon. One day, Brother Lee told us, do you know what? The last Adam became the life-giving spirit. Verse number one. And verse number two, he said, Now the Lord is with your spirit. Verse number two. Then he said, verse number three, 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He said, young people, you forget about every other thing. Just remember these three verses. Christ, the last Adam, became the spirit. Right? He is now come into my spirit as the spirit. And my spirit and he, the spirit, are now one spirit. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. And this is, I tell you, nothing matters. You agree with me?
Yes.
Nothing matters.
Amen.
This is it. This is it. This is life's meaning. This is what all the philosophers were looking for but couldn't find. Socrates, whatever. Confucius. I tell you, they couldn't find it. They just tell you to do good. They tell you this and that. No. I tell you, this is the answer. Now. Today we're in the process. We're in the process. Dear brothers and sisters, I gave you these verses in 2 Timothy. All right? Paul says, for this cause, I charge you to fan into flame, right? The gift of God that is in you. Well, that gift is a particular talent, a particular ministry that Timothy received by the laying on of the hands of Paul and the presbytery or the eldership. He said, don't let it die out. Fan into flame. Then he said this. For God hath not given us. Am I right? Let me see. Yeah. For God, that means he continues his thought, not finished yet. This fanning into flame has to do with verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to infuse this verse into you tonight. This means, number one, that God has given us a spirit. Now, this spirit is not just the created human spirit. This spirit is the mingled spirit. The spirit, you know, in the New Testament, big S, small s, you can tell. Here we have the small s because it connotes the more the human spirit. But today, with us regenerated believers, our human spirit is no longer just a human spirit. Our human spirit is mingled with God's spirit. Am I right? Amen. The divine spirit. So it is the mingled spirit. So here it says, we have been given a spirit. We have not been given a certain kind of spirit. I like Paul. Paul speaks in a different way. You know, he was a very lawyerly guy. God has not, because he wants to emphasize, he's trying to make a point to this young co-worker of his. I think this Timothy, I can empathize with Timothy. Because growing up, number one, I'm Chinese. Chinese are sort of not as brash as the Americans, you know. Not as outgoing and, you know, kind of like that. The Chinese are very reserved. Generally speaking, the Asians. I mean, today they're all ABC, ABK, whatever it is. They're really Americans. I'm talking about people like me who really came from there. We are more conservative. So that's number one. Number two, I grew up with an introverted disposition. You know, I'm kind of a shy person. And if you leave it to me, I like to hide out and be quite happy with my Apple computer, right? And in case you think, oh, boy, you're a born public speaker. You are more than wrong. You're more than wrong. I'm going to give you a testimony, okay? You're more than wrong. I was totally the other way. Then I came and touched the recovery. And under the infusion of ministry and the word like this, I tell you, I saw a revelation and I saw a fact. This is a fact that God did not give me a spirit of cowardice. Amen. Let me tell you, go to Revelation 21. You'll find one day in the lake of fire, the cowards will be there. Do you know that verse? Not only the sorcerers, the murderers, you know what I mean, all that kind of. The cowards belong to the lake of fire. Isn't that really something? I don't know how that works. People who are afraid, you know, like that. Cowards. You know, some people, they don't believe in Jesus because they were cowardly. And for us to be ashamed of the gospel, to be cowardly, will incur some kind of a curse. So, this born cowardly person, me, saw this revelation one day. I tell you, I lay hold of this. I pray read this. And I believe in this. I start declaring, me, I do not have a spirit of cowardice. I tell myself, man, Minoru Chen, listen up. God has not given you a spirit of cowardice. And devil, let me tell you, God has not given me such a spirit. That means I don't have it. I don't have it. My spirit has no cowardice in it.
Amen.
Or cowardice in it. There's not such a thing. My soul may be cowardly, but don't tell me my spirit is cowardly. God did not give me such a spirit. And tonight, let me tell you, you don't have such a spirit. How about this? Young people, go back to your campus and declare to the devils and demons, I don't have a spirit of weakness, cowardice, fear. You know fear? I tell you, to fear God is good, but to have fear dishonors God. To fear man, to fear the devil, dishonors God. Because God didn't give you that fear in you. Fear actually comes from the devil. Now, don't take me wrong. Don't go do bungee jumping. I have no fear. No fear, you know those? No fear. I don't mean that kind of thing. Forget about that. I mean when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to the spiritual things, when it comes to the church, when it comes to these important things related to God and faith, no fear. In your spirit. Yeah. Okay. Remember I slapped him? I was slapped by two people. Brother Lee was one. He slapped me too many times. Because he's always used me and some other brothers for examples. He just go like this. Another brother who slapped me is this brother who is dead now. He was a co-worker from China. His name is Abraham Chang. This brother was a general of the Chinese army. He's short. He's like this short. Stout. And he stands like this. He doesn't, you know, even the way he stands, he's like this. I'm not joking. And so he came to this country and he was traveling and he needs a translator. And I got chosen to translate. So I travel with him to here, to there, translate. And so sometimes I'm timid, you know, my timidness comes out again, my niceness and all of this. And in the middle of the translation, he looked at me. Release your spirit! In front of a big audience, talking to me. with a general's tone, you know. That's the training I received. And he doesn't smile when he says that. It's not some kind entreating. No. It was a command from a general. So I had to release my spirit. I gave these stories in some training. Some of the trainees, they have heard about it. Another one is Brother Lee, back to Brother Lee again. This is all related to more public situations. But I'm making a point. So, Brother Lee would, back in the 80s, he got us started in the so-called Chinese-speaking work. And I have to relearn Chinese because I've forgotten almost all about it. And then he left.
He took off. He went to Taiwan. This is 84, 85. And when he's gone, he stuck me on his platform. In other words, I have to fill in his shoes to speak every day, every week. You know, those days we didn't have prophesying meetings. It's still message giving. And he was the one giving the message when he was in town. Then he disappeared and said, Minoru Chen, you speak. And I have to struggle with Chinese because I've forgotten about it. I haven't read the Chinese Bible for a long time. I have to dust it off again. I have to relearn the spiritual terminology, and Brother Lee has advanced in that. And I have to speak to three about this size of Chinese saints. Many of them are older, and many of them are come from the Watchman Nee days. It's almost like I'm standing here, they all have scorecards. And I frequently have people after the meeting come up to me, don't say this, say this. This is the it's very, very frequent for me. And I have to speak for 1 hour. This is not 30 seconds. This is 1 hour. This is Brother Lee's pulpit. Let me talk about, you know. And sometimes Brother Lee came back. And I said, you know. Then I show up Sunday. No, you speak. Now it's worse. When he's not around, I can still afford to make a few mistakes. Now he's there, sitting right where Mark is. And I'm still speaking. Now talk about a big scorecard. Talk about pressure. Talk about pressure. You don't know what pressure is that. And then, then I have to give the announcement, not just give the message, but give announcements. So I gave announcements. I thought pretty good. I said, everyone clear? Everyone's clear. Then suddenly a booming voice for the lead. I'm not clear. Now it's hard to believe everybody's clear and he's not clear. I'm not clear. What that means is I have to do it again. I did it again. I'm still not clear, he said. I have to do it the third time. And this in front of hundreds of saints. Well, I can tell you what Brother Lee was doing. He was training me. He was really training me. What is my point? Oh, and not only this, we have this before the meeting, some brothers come together to pray, right? And in a room somewhere. And Brother Lee would come, I have to speak. And in that little room, he would pray up a storm for me. And let me tell you, that's a lot of pressure. The more he prays for me, the worse I feel. Because what if I don't match the prayer? And you know what a lot of his prayers? Lord, release our brother's spirit. Amen. That's a lot of his prayer. Because he knows my weak point. Somewhat, that's why I say I can empathize with Timothy. Timothy, I believe, is also kind of a timid kind of person. You can tell. You can tell. So Paul says, don't forget to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. By the laying on of my hands, for God did not give us a spirit of cowardice. Amen. Now this pertains to the ministry, of course, in this context. Pertains to the ministry. And brothers and sisters, we are talking about the ministry. Because this week, we're very much on this matter of the gospel. Am I right? The proclamation of the gospel of God. We're talking about the releasing of this full gospel of Jesus Christ to our friends, to our relatives, to our schoolmates. I tell you, that's the ministry. And you are under pressure. And that's healthy pressure. Healthy pressure. Remember this. God has not given you a spirit of cowardice. You say, how do I know? I would say, use it. Use your spirit. And you will find out. Exercise your spirit, dear saints. This is my word. Release your spirit, young people. There's nothing more important for you at your age to build up a strong spirit by means of exercise, by means of release. Brotherly even say, push your spirit out. That's what we did. You know what happens when you push your spirit out? You start to experience the economical spirit. Now, so brothers and sisters, when you go back, I said already, number one, don't live a two-faced life. Don't hide your real identity. Be what you are. Be what you are. You don't have to be what you're not. Just be what you are. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You love the Lord. You're a child of God. Confess that. The sooner the better. Don't hide it. And secondly, I told you to pray. But I would say, actually, according to your outline, number two, find some companions. Find some companions. Okay? Two or three, what I call the twos and threes. Find them. Even in your little school, you can find two or three. Don't depend on yourself. Get two or three together. And that would be what we call the nucleus. You become a little nucleus. Do it. Right away do it. Absolutely do it. Don't even worry about it. Don't doubt it. Just do it. And number three, pray. Recently we were all in Austin. They have a wonderful testimony of the college students in Austin, or some of them. In the beginning, they were left to pray by themselves. You know how long they pray? 4 minutes. 4 minutes they pray. I think 4 months later, 3 months later, they were able to pray for an hour nonstop. This is just students. No full-timers, nobody else. Just students. And let me tell you, we did that. We did that in college. And we did that frequently on our knees. On our knees. I'm serious. With a few brothers. Just praying. We just pray ourselves into the Spirit. And we pray the Spirit out of us. In and out. Oh, I tell you. When you pray like this, you become so mingled with God. You become so one with God. There's a power there. There is the Lord's authority there. There's the Lord's registration there with you in what you do. That's when you will start seeing things happen. Friends getting saved. Right? And not only that, even your own Christian life will change. It will become dynamic rather than static. It will become hot rather than lukewarm or cold. You, rather than every day just kind of slogging through your Christian life, you will be flying on the air. You will not be every day inundated with problems and live a defeated life. You will be pneumatized, full of air. You will be overcoming things. Really, it is possible. I don't agree today with our young people, day after day, living a life of defeat and fallen into temptation. I don't mean none of us are weak or don't make mistakes. That's not what I mean. But perpetually so. It's even a lifestyle of defeat. Always on the floor. Always weak. Always struggling to make it. That is not right. That should not be. That is abnormal. I did not live like that. And I'm not special, and I'm not unique. I'm not smarter than you. There's nothing to do with smarts. And I tell you, when you pray like this, when you're so one with the Lord like this, your spirit is so exercised like this, you are full of faith. You just believe all kinds of things. You just believe. You know, let me tell you, you know how you get people saved? You believe them into salvation. You say, no, no, they have to believe. No, you have to believe first. Then your belief will be infused into them to become their belief. This is called the hearing of faith. You speak by faith and you infuse faith into people until they believe.
Amen.
Even right now, let me tell you, you know what I'm speaking? I'm not speaking some doctrine. I'm speaking faith into you.
Amen.
You should be a generation of faith. Don't become that generation of unbelief that fell in the wilderness and the carcasses strewn all about. Did not make it into the good land. You are a new generation. You're supposed to enter into the good land. To take that land. Let's take the land, O Christian brothers. Let's take the land, O Christian sisters. You need a land-taking spirit. Like those homestead, you know, on those wagons. Bang, you know. Let's go take the land. Stake. Have that kind of a spirit. Pioneering spirit. Not this kind of, I call it mamsy-pamsy, fluffy, touchy-feely Christian. What is that? You're just a punching bag for the devil. The demons are having a field day in your life just because your spirit is weak and cowardly. No, 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 no. You don't have such a spirit. You just don't have it. Build up your spirit. Okay, now. Okay. It doesn't end there. But of power. Your spirit is a spirit of power. Okay. This power refers to your will. To your will. I'll tell you, dear saints, the first thing here is not mind, nor emotion, but will. I like to tell you, young brothers and sisters, the key to the kingdom is your will. Is your will. Oh, you say, no, 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 I thought we should not supposed to use our willpower. You know, we should not strive. We should let God do it. I cannot do it. Well, that is only one way of looking at it. I tell you, all the people who follow, who are the followers of the Lord Jesus, are people with a strong will. A will. Listen, a will that when it comes to God, when it comes to God's speaking to you, God's requirement over you about this, about that, that will is entirely what? Submissive. No resistance. Entirely an amen will. I call it an amen will. To the Father, you just know how to say yes. I tell you, this is my secret of Christian growth, is to say yes to the inner speaking of the Lord. Nothing makes you grow quicker than saying a quick amen. We frustrated the Lord's growth too much by being slow in our obedience. Obedience makes you a happy Christian. Use your spirit to say amen to the Lord.
Amen.
Your mind goes crazy. Your emotion is fluctuating, but let your will say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mine, I don't care what your reason is. If God is speaking, I say amen.
Amen.
I don't care how hard is this road.
Amen.
How long is this path.
Amen.
If God is calling me, I say amen.
Amen.
The more you say amen, the more grace will flood you.
Amen.
The more the supply will come. On the other hand, you must exercise your spirit until your spirit is the spirit of power, so strong to what? To say no to the devil. Anything of the devil, you say no. Don't even entertain him for a moment. You let the nose of this camel into your tent, he's going to get in and squeeze you out. Have a spirit, strong spirit, that resists the devil. Resist. I'm training you to resist the devil. And he will run away. You know why the devil is having a field day on you, just like this monkey jumping all over you? This is a monkey, you know what I mean? Because you are not absolute. You know what I would do? I would grab the monkey by the neck and maybe I'll wring it first and I'll throw it across the room. That's my spirit.
Amen.
When it comes to the enemy,
amen,
watch out. It's warfare.
Amen.
It's battle time.
Amen.
It's a fight. I tell you, Satan plays with your fear. The more you're fearful of him, the more he's taking advantage. Some of you sisters are afraid of the dark. Let me tell you, use your spirit and say, I'm not afraid. Oh, maybe the devil is here. No, the devil is not here. God is with me.
Amen.
Emmanuel, God with us. Cast out the fear of darkness. Cast out the fear of this. Cast out the fear of that. What about this? What about that? No. But to God, we fear Him with our whole being. We honor, obey, submit. But to the devil, not for a minute. Not for a minute. We need a young generation like this, and we were like that. Problem today, look, listen, today's young generation, not just you, the secular out there, is Satan has used all kinds of things to weaken the will of the young people. Am I right? Make them all softies. So the devil can do whatever he wants. No will. They become all jellyfish. Why can you turn that computer off? Why can you turn that TV off? Willpower. But it's not just willpower emanating from our soul. It is the spirit of power.
Amen.
The source is the spirit. And the spirit must have a way in your will.
Amen.
And it comes forth as power.
Amen.
So that means what? That means submit your will to your spirit. Let your spirit dominate your will and use your will. Some of us have these excuses. Oh, this or that. I take no excuse. The only one excuse is you didn't use your spirit. That's the single excuse. I don't mean you'll never fail. I don't mean you'll never get weak. Me too. Hallelujah, we have the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord, we can confess our sins. But as a norm, young man, you are strong. The Word of God abides in you.
Amen.
I tell you, the way to make your spirit strong is by the Word of God. Pray, read the Word. Fill your being with the Word. Especially turn the Word into spirit and eat it. And eat it. Your spirit will be strong. I mean, today, even the way some of the young people sit, they really look like a snake. They just drape over the chair. Their head is almost on the seat. They don't sit, people don't sit anymore. They lie. And when they stand, they it's like gravity just took over. Even with their composure, it's just, this is the devil. Satan weakens your will. He wears out your will until you have no more resistance, and then he can do whatever he wants. Come along, come on, come on, come on, he will say. He's the Pied Piper. Come on. I tell you, the whole world follows. Look at this Michael Jackson stuff. You know? The whole world is, whoa, whoa. Went crazy. Everybody's doing it. Why not me? Join in. Jump in. Don't stand out. Be part of the crowd. Everyone's doing it. Oh, I tell you, that gets the whole stadium rocking. The whole arena pulsating in that music, in that, all that stuff. You know, today I saw a sign on drugs, you know. Don't take drugs, you know. Billboard. It says in the bottom, I'll hear somewhere. They say, sometimes it's good to be a quitter. That means quit drugs. You know, to be a quitter, you need a strong will. To quit drugs, you need a strong will. No more. How about that? Don't say, I cannot do it. Yes, I know you cannot do it. But the Spirit can. The Spirit of power. Strengthen that spirit. All the great servants of God are people of strong will. But a will that has been broken by the Lord, for the Lord, and yet is still a strong will. To carry out, to match God's determined purpose. Never give up. Never throw in the towel. Amen. Okay? I'm giving you secrets how to live your Christian life right now. Secondly, a spirit of love. What does that mean? That means when your emotion is so filled with the Spirit, so dominated by the Spirit, that emotion just is full of love. Number one, it loves God. It loves Jesus. It loves the Lord. completely, totally, with abandonment, with craziness. Don't love the Lord soberly. Love the Lord crazily. When I start to fall in love with my, you know, my wife now, but many years ago, before she was my wife, oh, I must admit, I lost all my sobriety. I lost my sobriety. Do you think she will like it if I'm so sober? She will probably say, are you real or what? You know what I'm saying? When it comes to God, brothers and sisters, be totally passionate. Be a passionate lover of the Lord Jesus. I mean, I tell you, when your spirit is so strong, you just, when you say, Lord Jesus, I love you, it's not this kind of halfway, you know, maybe, maybe not, you know. I tell you, even when you say, Lord Jesus, I love you, it's not just sentimental, you know, sentimental. We just sang this love song, so I kind of feel it now. No, 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 it's not like that. No, no, it's not like that. When you say, Lord Jesus, I love you, full of feeling, but full of spirit. It's a reaction of His love to you, so that love has a divine quality to it. It's not just natural, sappy, sugary, syrupy, whatever, is not that way. I'm not saying you shouldn't sing some love song, but sometimes I almost feel like we need those love songs to get our feelings going. No. I tell you, just one whisper from your spirit, Lord Jesus, I love you. I tell you, that will do it. With your spirit. Of course, you say it from your heart. You know, we have to love God with our whole what? Whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, our whole strength. Am I right? With our whole being, basically. Your spirit, brothers and sisters, is a spirit of love. Don't say, I don't love the Lord Jesus. That's not true. Your spirit loves it. And you know what? The more you use your spirit to declare you love the Lord Jesus, the more you will have the reality of it. So just say it, but say it from your spirit. Oh, Lord. I used to have a hard time saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. You know why? Because I said, he's a guy. And I'm a guy. This is weird. This is weird. Until, I really mean it. This is just hard. I know I should love God. You know, that I can take. I love God. God and man. Lord Jesus, I love you. It's a little, it's hard for me. Then, of course, then this, the ministry, all those speaking, you know, especially on that conference, Crazy Lovers of Jesus, all our mouth got released. Our being got released. And from then on, Lord Jesus, I love you has become a common exclamation among us. Am I right?
Yes.
Lord, but don't let it become too common. Right? Speak it from your spirit. And then, that love is not just for God. That love it will be for your brothers and sisters. And for all men eventually. Your spirit is so strong, the spirit will love the others. You say, oh, you always say, oh, I hate my roommate. The more you say this, the more you hate him. The more ugly he gets. Because you're in the wrong place, you know. But I would suggest you just go to the Lord and declare, I love my roommate. I tell you, after some declaration from your spirit, the real love will come for that brother or for that sister. You check it. It's not from you, it's from God. And you'll love men. You know, you go out there, oh, this one is too fat, that one is too thin. That's because you're not in your spirit. If your spirit is strong, I tell you, all men are lovely. Even the one with tattooed, whatever. It's God coming out of you. And lastly, I come to the mind. I said I'm going to say something about the mind. The spirit of sober-mindedness. When your spirit is strong, it will have an effect of renewing your mind, sobering your mind, affecting your mind. I would say even washing your mind. And that's what our mind needs. I said already this afternoon, all the problems come from the mind. Satan comes to Eve as a question. Did God say this? This is stir up her mind. Today still, the enemy comes to you and I through the mind and to get us reasoning in our mind. So, I don't have time. You read Romans 1. I refer to Romans 1. When I talk about this matter of homosexuality thing, right, this afternoon, you have to just read Romans 1. Oh, very serious. It says, they knew people, men, all men actually, every man actually know there's a God. Number one, the universe and the nature declares God. How can you say these things willy-nilly came into being without someone creating it? No possibility. And not only the outside, the inside, your nature, your God-created nature tells you there is a being. That's why only man wants to worship something. They worship the wrong thing, but they want to worship something. That means there is such a thing. But you know what Romans says? Romans says men, the fallen men, had that in them, realized that. But you know what? They suppressed it deliberately. They hold down the truth of God consciously by their fallen, Satan-saturated mind. They manage to reason their way around and say, there is no God. Every single sin inhabiting this earth comes from this source of the denial of God. When man starts to deny God, I tell you, that opens the floodgates of hell. Every manner of sin comes from there because they do not hold God in their full knowledge. And it says they give up God. They had God. They give up God. And three times in Romans 1 it says, therefore God gave them up to the passions and lust of their bodies, to a kind of reprobate mind. Today, let me tell you, God never gives up on people. But when man would go to such extreme to deny God and give up God, God has no way, no recourse but to give them up. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, let me tell you. There's no place so scary than to be in a place where God has given you up. Don't even get near that. Don't even think about it. When God gives somebody up, that doesn't mean someone will murder them or something. No, they can still live. But they start to live a degraded existence. Worse and worse. Until they become just like an animal. It all started in their mind. They gave up God. You know, all these, now there's this popular atheist. You know, atheism is having a comeback now. All these books. It's modern to be atheistic. It's cool to be atheistic. Most of the professors, I would say, are atheistic. And they're transmitting that into you. They are the puppets, the tools of the enemy. Even they don't know it. Don't go tell them this, okay? But even they don't know it. To perpetuate this anti-God philosophy all over the earth. To get rid of God. Who wants to get rid of God? Satan. He's the first one. He wants to be God. And as long as God is God, he has no chance. Now, I'm not a physician. I'm not a specialist. All these things about homosexual, is it chemical balance or born this way, genes? I am not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I cannot answer you at that level. All I can tell you is from the Word. Now, I'm not speaking this politically, so don't take that in that way. But I know this thing is sweeping the whole globe. More than ever before. Talk about the 60s. It was bad, okay? That was when the genie came out of the bottle. But today, this genie... I don't believe it anymore. I cannot believe it anymore. It used to be San Francisco. You know what I mean? Nowadays, it's Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's Atlanta, Georgia. It's like pride. In the name of tolerance. If you are not that way, you have homophobia. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. What's wrong with you? This is normal. This is normal. You are abnormal. Now, God loves the world. God loves every person. Whatever. Really, God does. God does. And we too. We love men. We love all men. We love who God loves, which is all men. But God hates sin. And it says so in the Word. You go read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Certain people will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not talking about people who have engaged in that kind of sin, but talking about people who made it a lifestyle, a practice, a living. I'm not here to debate with anyone. I have no heart to debate with anyone. So please don't come and debate with me. What about this? What about that? Don't do that. And I'm not even standing here to condemn anybody. I don't have such a spirit or such a heart. I'm speaking to you, the believers of the Lord, the lovers of Jesus. I'm speaking to you. I want you to know where this comes from. I know even it is affecting even some in the Lord's recovery. I know that. The mind. That's my point. The mind. Don't let the philosophy and the teaching of this world to get into your mind. Once it gets hold of your mind, you will start agreeing and believing and being sympathetic to this cause. I didn't tell you to go and join any kind of anti-gay club. That's not where I am. I'm totally not there. I mentioned some isms, you know, isms this afternoon, right? All these isms are perpetuated today, especially in educational system. In the name of intellectual pursuit, all these isms are being perpetuated, taught, sometimes very, very overtly. If you're not careful, your mind will just receive a seed. Bing! Just a seed. It will start to grow a shoot. And pretty soon you'll be persuaded. Be careful. Be very, very careful. Sisters, I mentioned feminism. Am I already... getting some of you like this, I don't know. I am not a, what do you call it? Chauvinistic. What else? Sexist, woman-hating. Bigot. I'm not. I have a wife and two lovely daughters. I love them very much. I don't hate them. I'm very proud. And I'm going to have a granddaughter this October. And it's going to be a she. And I'm very happy to be a granddad of a little girl. So I'm absolutely not there. But I tell you, this feminism is evil. We're not talking today about, you know, one man, one vote, you know, universal suffrage, you know, or even equal rights amendment. That's old stuff. That is old stuff. Today we're talking about radical feminism. Not only women are equal with men. You know what they say today? Women is the same as men. Not just equal in position, but same even in their nature. No wonder a lot of the feministic purveyors are what I just, the first kind of people I just talked about. Are you with me? I don't want to, are you following me? I hate to use the word. I mean, today, men is becoming women. I mean, look at this guy's hair. It's more feministic than the feminine. You know this hair that they make today? I said, is that a guy or a girl? I really can't tell. It's not in the back, I can't tell. Even in the front, I can't tell. And a woman looks like a man. What is going on here? A woman wants to be a man wants to be a woman. This transgender. You can get a degree today in transgender. What? You can get a degree, huh? Transgender studies. I mean, 40 years ago, this would have been unbelievable. It is just wearing it on the sleeve. It is just spilling out. It is just, that's normal. You're all abnormal. This is the new normal. Right? And I tell you, this kind of feminine, 9:30. What should I do? Huh? The sisters say, let's end here. I study these things, by the way. Don't think I'm just... No, I study these things. I have to study them. Because it's my business to know these things. Oh. This feminism has caused... This is a very serious thing. You know why I say it's evil? Because at the root of it... Listen to me, sisters. Listen, sisters. At the root of it, it touches the headship of God. It's not just about, you know, abuse wives or... No, it's, in the end, it's about the... Or breaking glass ceilings. No, at the end, it's about the headship of God. Feminism has bred a generation of women that have no idea of God's order in this universe. Of God, Christ, man, and woman. That's God's order. You like it? You don't like it? Tough. God made the decision. That's it. End of the story. Your job? Amen. That's why they hate the Bible. Today, let me tell you, if there's no law here, they would be burning Bibles. Trust me. They'll be burning Bibles. They hate this thing. Because this thing stands against what they are preaching. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. So women should have hair or covering their head as a sign of submission. And men should not shave their head. No. I'm saying women should not shave their head. As a sign. And I tell you, this whole matter of the headship of God, sisters, it awaits a special time to talk to you sisters just about that. Young sisters, I am very, very burdened for you and concerned for you that you grow up with the godly view of your position, because it will affect your marriage. Trust me. Today, many marriages are not working because the order is tipsy-turvy. It's upside down. It's the woman running the show, wearing the pants, being the head of the household. Now, I must say something about the men. Men have become so feminine. Effeminate. Is that the word? You know, those kind of hair, you know what I mean? Totally sexless. You know what they are. You don't know what they are. This is all, don't think this is just all society. Oh, well, this is the latest trend. No. There is a spirit working. A spirit of disobedience working there in a most systematic manner. In this age, every age has something. In this particular age. And all these things are happening in such intensity and with such speed, you have to conclude. We are very, very close to the consummation of the age. The next thing is men and animals are the same. You know that? And let's tell you, fornication. Fornication, you know what that means. I tell you today, it's glorified in TV shows, in you know what, in fiction books, in magazines, in almost literally in movies. Everywhere you turn, I tell you, drip. Drop, drip, drop. You watch this, you read it. You start thinking, that's normal. That's normal. That's okay. Everybody's doing it. In fact, the other way is abnormal. A fornicatious life is normal anymore. Normal. To keep yourself as a virgin until you're married, yeah, that's abnormal. That's abnormal. Brothers and sisters, I really... Oh, makes you weep, seeing lives destroy in front of your eyes. I mean young people, especially the young people. The destruction today begins in junior high. I mean, they have a survey recently by high school. How many have sexual intercourse? I couldn't believe the survey and the stats. And even how many partners. Starts at that age. You know what I mean? By the time they get to college, oh my goodness. These are things that the enemy used to destroy the young people, to ruin their humanity, to grind them into pieces, to make them no good for God. And when you are engaged in that, I tell you, your vessel can be so affected that it takes a lot of work to recover. Young brothers and sisters, by the Lord's mercy, exercise your spirit to keep yourself for the Lord. I cannot guarantee your life. No one can. But I know in my own experience, God honors those who honor Him and His Word. Right here, His Word. I can guarantee you one day Satan will not have the last laugh.
Amen.
Many of you are now entering to college in a couple of months or next month. Beware. On the one hand, that's why I feel when you go, you have to be on the offensive. Don't go, no, be on the offense with the gospel.
Amen.
Confess your faith, draw the line. That doesn't mean you get rid of, you know, you distance people. You know what I mean. But be on the offense with the word. Nothing to be shameful about. That's why I read these verses there, right? And be not ashamed, is that right? After he said that about the spirit, and then it says what? Therefore, he's not done yet. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer evil with the gospel according to the power of God. Listen, the apostle didn't pull any punches here. Suffer. He said suffer. There will, all those who love God will be persecuted. That is our lot. That is our lot. But, listen, it says, according to the power of God. You see, the word power is here again. Not by yourself. You don't need to suffer by yourself. There's a power in the Spirit. That is the power of God. That will enable you to overcome these persecutions and still testify for the Lord. I believe and I predict, listen to me, the Lord is turning a new page on the earth, especially in the United States. You know how? By gaining hundreds and thousands of young people.
Amen.
Just like you.
Amen.
I believe so. I have a burden that very soon we need a stadium to fill you all up. Instead of stadium, listening to these whatever. It's an orgy. Am I right? Those kind of things. These rock concerts and all these things. We will be like in Hebrews. A cloud of witnesses looking and says, what? Run the race. Young people, run the race. This generation, run the race.
Amen.
We're waiting for you to finish this race.
Amen.
Why not? Why not? Why does this earth has to be filled with young people like that? Why there should not be young people that is for God, for Christ and the church, for His eternal purpose? Why not? There's no reason. Now, I'm getting too much here. I would say besides, so you have to what? You're saying, keep your mind. Keep your mind. Don't let your mind loose to take in so many things. Filter things you hear. Just filter. Filter what? Filter it with the Word of God. Just filter it. If it doesn't pass the test of the Word, don't take it. Then I would say one more thing. Here, in verse 3, which we didn't read, Paul says, I serve the God that I serve with a pure conscience. Dear brothers and sisters, if you, one way to have such a good spirit, I love Daniel. It says Daniel has an excellent spirit. I love that verse. From the time I read that verse, I aspire to be a Daniel. My, you touch this brother. You touch this brother. What impressed you is not this, not that. You know what I mean? Or the smarts, or this, the good looks, whatever. When you touch this brother, what impressed you, you come away with an impression of that person you met. It's the spirit. Now that's lovely. That's beautiful. The man of an excellent spirit. Eventually God calls Daniel my preciousness. Do you want God to call you His preciousness? Or what? I want that. I covet that as a young person. I would give anything for that. That God would consider me precious in His eyes. That I would be a young man with an excellent spirit. And in the chapter 1, it says Daniel and his friends purpose in their hearts not to partake of the king's meat. They have a purposeful heart, excellent spirit. That makes them a precious human being. I challenge you, brothers and sisters, before God, all of you would become the next generation Daniels, even a corporate one. I don't care about so many things. Your spirit is excellent. Power, love, sober-mindedness. It's all there. When I touch you, I'm hit with it. When I listen to you pray, it's just released. My excellent. Precious. The recovery has a future now. With young brothers and sisters like that. And this is not just brothers. Sisters, you too. Absolutely you too. What actually attracted me to my wife was her spirit. Yeah, I say that. I testified it openly. Well, not just her spirit, but because she's not a spirit. I mean, you know, we're a tripartite being. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Oh, don't be cool, you know. Cool. You know. But the spirit, flat. You know? Nothing. Dead. You like that? No. Have an excellent spirit. This kind of spirit. I don't need to. The conscience. I've got to finish this. The conscience. And this is your conscience is God's alarm in you. God has an alarm. You know the door? If it says alarm, equipped, you push it, it goes off. Your spirit has a part called conscience. That conscience is a divine alarm. It goes off when you cross that line, when you open that door. And when that alarm goes off, it's working. It's doing its job. What you need to do, don't cross that line. Your conscience doesn't lie to you. Now, sometimes in dealing with our conscience, we can get oversensitive. That's another matter. But trust your conscience. Live by your conscience. Actually, your conscience is the glove. And the hand in that glove is God. Your conscience is God's representative in your inner being. That is the first line of defense that God has, or that you have. Don't violate your conscience. Don't bribe your conscience. Pay attention to it. Take care of it. The more you take care of it, the more sensitive it will become. Even little things, it will trigger a little alarm. Talk about walk by the Spirit. I tell you, it is living by our conscience. A great part of it. God whom I serve from a pure conscience. Take care of your conscience. Don't let it be defiled. Don't let it be seared. So that has no feeling. Things that no one need to tell you what you should not do. Your conscience tells you. Then don't do it. Things that you cannot do open. You should not do it in the dark. I still have to say something today. And today, more and more of a great wave today in spreading, I tell you, just permeating everything is this matters of the occult. Occult. Sorcery. Witchcraft. Satanism. All these things are also popular. You agree with me? You know, even the video games you play are full of this kind of stuff. The video games, you know? Well, this weird whatever. You don't know you're touching darkness itself. This is darkness. A few years ago, when Harry Potter came out, I spoke in a training. Oh, that irritated some people who came and talked to me. Oh, this Harry Potter. Oh, this kid with glasses. So what, he rides a broom and works magic. Let me tell you, we have a generation growing up now in Harry Potter. And that is darkness. And all that stuff is always related to drugs. Drugs. The same root word. And when Andrew talked about that kind of music, they're all interrelated. They're all interrelated. That's why today all these people who die, these celebrities who die like Michael Jackson, they're all in that kind of realm. Oh, you think, well, what a sweet voice, you know, what a humanitarian. Well, I tell you the source of it and what it broadcasts is the enemy. You say, oh, after a message like this, you strip away everything. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more to live for. Brothers, too much time on the internet. I still say this. Forget about the bad stuff you can get into, which is 3 clicks away. The really bad stuff. Pornography, I especially refer to. Pornography. But even if it's good stuff, it gets you, in the old days it's TV, now it's internet. Just hours and hours lost. Lost. Satan is another way Satan works, is to waste your time. Take away your time. Okay, I think I have released my burden. You say, what kind of burden is this? I'm not negative. Don't think I'm negative. I'm a doomsday man. No. I'm not like this. I'm very hopeful.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back.
Amen.
The only thing that will save this world.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Let's declare this verse again about the Spirit. Just one time. 2 Timothy 1. Seven, let's read. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. Verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but suffer evil with the gospel according to the power of God. And I forgot to say one last thing. I give you a number of verses in this book on grace. We are called according to His purpose and grace. Timothy, be empowered in the grace. Grace be with you. You're saying, we have a lot of grace. God is grace. Ever flowing. Full of enjoyment. It's there. If we would just exercise our spirit, grace as a river will flow. So, go back. Amen?
Amen.
Fill up that blank. Amen?